I want to talk to you about not human relations as such, human values, civil rights, the so-called Negro problem as such. I want to try to put some of these things into focus. Because years ago, as we will remember, the so-called race problem in this country was something that, if it was as large as some people thought it was merely a Southern problem. Others try to make it a city problem. Others try to make it a neighborhood problem in one city. Well, whether you like it or not, or whether I like it or not, or whether any of us like it, the so-called problem of color has become a world problem. And indeed, if anybody had wanted to play it down or to forget about it, that time has long since passed. I have no feeling one way or the other about it, but it is a fact that whenever anything is done concerning the kicking around of a minority member in this country, it's made world propaganda. I think it's very interesting that the recent killings in Mississippi, young boy Emmett Till murdered, Reverend G.W. Lee murdered, Mr. Lamar Smith murdered, Gus Court shot 4 times and managed to live. I could go on citing them. But each one of those instances reported throughout this country and the world. And when the people charged with the murder of Emmett Till, the colored boy, 14-year-old boy, murdered for allegedly whistling at somebody. As I look at it, I get this perspective. I was attending a conference at Harvard Law School. It's a conference entitled Government Under Law. All of you know what that means. It was honoring the former Chief Justice John R. Marshall and his dedication to the principle that every governmental agency operated solely under the law, of course, being supreme. And at this conference, they had the leading people from all over the world of the English-speaking countries, the Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court, the Associate Justices there, the two that could make it, Mr. Justice Burton and Mr. Justice Frankfurter, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of Canada, the Master of the Rolls, Great Britain, the Chief Justice of Australia, indeed, even the Chief Justice of the Union of South Africa, and judges on lower levels from all of these places, and lawyers from throughout the country, about 1,000 people. And while discussing all of these problems brought out by and reanalyzing what Chief Justice Marshall had said, what the courts had been saying from that day until this, of the meaning of government under law, to have on the second day of that 3-day conference the announcement made that the jury down in Mississippi had turned those 2 men loose who later openly confessed to that murder hit everybody at that meeting with a little force. I think also the fact that a careful survey made of the foreign press showed that every single decent country in the world roundly condemned what had happened in Mississippi. And over-significant was the fact that the non-communist press was much more vociferous in condemning Mississippi than the communist press. That we have to consider in its proper viewpoint in considering this so-called problem of man and race. Maybe it takes an Emmett Till's murder to rock some of us on our feet. But for every time that type of thing happens, there are hundreds and thousands of other instances that sort of run by people's minds. And even then, as in every one of these cases, all the way back as far as we go in history, there is an effort made to wash bloods off of hands, to wash the blood off. An effort has even been made in Mississippi to escape responsibility for what's been going on. They said, for example, that the body that was found was not the body of Emmett Till. Well, he was only identified by his mother, that's all. And anybody would imagine that a mother would know her own child. They even said that the NAACP arranged for the murder so we'd have something to talk about. Well, if the only way we could get attention to this problem would be to murder somebody in Mississippi, with all of the available ones down there, it wouldn't be a poor little 14-year-old boy from Chicago. They also said that he shouldn't have been killed, but he should have been punished. They've tried every way possible to explain away the guilt, not of the two men involved. I'm not worried about them, not at all. Try to explain away the guilt of the good people that allowed men like that to go free. They try to explain why, as a good person, I didn't do anything about it in Mississippi. That's what it is. That's that personal blood we're trying to wash off down there. You can't do it that way. Because the good people in the South, and indeed good people in all of our states, are the ones that are responsible for the bad people getting away with what they get away with. It's the atmosphere that's created that allows it. And every step of the way in this fight, there have always been reasons given for violating the law of the land. And the same reasons are always given. One is that these outside organizations are trumping up this stuff. They're interfering with the good race relations. That the object of the Negro, the good Negro, is to be a nice, good Negro. And if he was left alone, he'd be a nice one. Those old nasty northern agitators are always agitating them. Well, I love this northern agitator, because the one northern agitator they've been talking about so much recently was born and raised way up south in Baltimore, Maryland. That's where he was. The other northern agitator they used to talk about until he died, Walter White, was born and raised way up south in Atlanta, Georgia. Truth of the matter is that the policy controlling all of this is done by the Negroes and their friends in the South. Then they try all of the other arguments. Every step of the way, the argument has been made, the Negroes are looking for social equality. And there they really have us over a barrel. Because we can't defend ourselves on it, because simple reason, we don't know what social equality is and nobody else does. All of these professors of sociology, not to the contrary. Because social equality means one thing here and it means another thing in Chicago and a third thing in Mississippi and a fourth thing in Alabama. In some areas of social equality, for a Negro to be alive is social equality. To have a job is definitely social equality. I remember, for example, that when we had our primary case in Texas and South Carolina, the charge was made that we were really driving toward intermarriage. That used to always make me pull hair out, because I have never yet heard of anybody standing in line waiting to vote and saying, oh, by the way, will you please marry me? I mean, you don't do that in the line waiting to vote. In Columbia, South Carolina, some years back when we had our primary case, the then Grand Kleagle of the Klan, Old Man Green, since he's died, I mean, I still have faith in my Lord. He gets around to it at times. It's a little slow. But Green was alive then, and Green was making this big Klan speech. And he was building it up, you know, step by step, as these crowd boys can do. And he's saying that if they allow these Negroes to vote in the primary election, then the next thing they'll be doing this, then they'll be doing this, and then, you know, building it up and up. And then he says, and the next thing you know, he got to his real peroration. He said, the next thing you know, some big black bark Negro will be rapping on your door asking for your daughter's hand in marriage.